So good to be here today. The lesson in Acts with Peter and Rhoda and God, most of all the power of God, how he worked and how he heard the cry of the believers. What a powerful message to us this morning. I was thinking about this message for a couple of weeks. I was at a funeral a couple weeks ago, and the pastor shared a phrase there. I thought, wow, that would be an interesting title for a message, and I was inspired to take it from there and develop it into something to share with you guys, and also it stirred my heart so deeply. An introduction to it would be found in Acts 24, and actually the message this morning come from words of two leaders. And the one here in Acts 24, verse 24, says, "And after certain days," this is when Paul was sharing with the leader Felix, "certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" So go away, I'll do it later, I'll do it tomorrow. The other leader was found in Exodus. And I know Weldon probably hit it a little bit when he was sharing about the plagues. But there was a phrase that Pharaoh said that I titled my message from: "One more night with the frogs." Why do we want to spend one more night with the frogs? I thought, wow, that is quite a message. And if you turn to Exodus 8, chapter 8, you see Pharaoh and Moses. And why Pharaoh responded the way he did, we'll talk about it here in the message. But Moses says, "Do you want me to take away these frogs now?" And Pharaoh said, "Tomorrow. One more night with the frogs." The family of Israel had gone down into Egypt in the days of Joseph to escape the famine up in Palestine. But several hundred years had passed, and the family of Jacob had grown into a great host of people. The Pharaoh who had known Joseph was dead, and a new dynasty of pharaohs were now ruling. The children of Israel were now slaves to the Egyptians, toiling under the hot Egyptian sun. They had to gather their own straw to make bricks. And they were hot, suffering, and being beat whenever they didn't come up with the straw. And so they cried for deliverance from their bondage, and God heard their cry. God called Moses, told him to go to Pharaoh and ask him for a release to the children of Israel so that they might turn to their native land, or return to their native land in Canaan. Moses went to Pharaoh and he made the request, but Pharaoh refused to let them go. And the Bible says God sent a number of judgments or plagues upon the land of Egypt. One of the plagues was an abundance of frogs. So if you look at Exodus 8:3, it talks about the frogs. They were in the bedrooms. They were in the parlors. They were in the ovens. And they were in the kneading troughs. Doesn't sound very appetizing, frogs jumping in your kneading troughs. God had said, if you refuse to let the children of Israel go, behold, I will smite your land, your people, with frogs, your borders with frogs. And God always keeps his word. Pharaoh refused to let the people go, let the people of Israel go. And so frogs came up, and they covered the land. Can you just see it? Look. The housewife opens her oven door and frogs jump out at her. And she probably screams, where are these frogs coming from? And then think of the weary laborer who goes to crawl to bed and he pulls the covers down to jump in and there's frogs everywhere in his bed. How would you like to have green, slimy, cold frogs for a night partner? Would not be very... wouldn't be a whole lot of fun, and it would not be a very restful night. You could just see another one putting on his clothes, and he reaches into his pockets, and frogs jumping out everywhere you walked. I'm just trying to imagine this. Everywhere you walked, it was squish, squash, frogs between your toes if you were barefooted. There were frogs in the palace, frogs in the cottage, frogs in the house, frogs in the yard. Little frogs, big frogs, thousands of dead frogs heaped up in smelly mountains as millions more came from the river to take their place. Now, why would Pharaoh, with all this misery, with all this, the mess with frogs, why would he say, tomorrow, when God was offering to take him away now? So finally, Pharaoh could stand it no longer. Those green, cold, slimy, slippery frogs got the best of him. He called for Moses, the servant of God, and this is what he said: entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, and they may go and do their sacrifice in their own land. Moses must have been overjoyed. And I find it very interesting. It expressed Moses' joy. He said, glory be over me. It was like last Sunday night, I heard a guy yell, glory, on one of the songs. And this is like Moses saying, glory over me. We can get rid of these frogs and we can go as God's people. And so, the option was, you can get rid of these frogs right now. But Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Why would you say tomorrow? Why would you and I say tomorrow when we are struggling in sin, miserable, and we don't want to deal with the things in our lives tomorrow? Just like Felix, he said, not now, maybe a more convenient time, tomorrow. Just give me one more night with the frogs. Just why would Pharaoh say tomorrow? It may be that he still thought that the frogs were the result of some natural phenomenon, and that if he waited maybe a little while longer, some favorable wind would come along and sweep them out of the land, and then he wouldn't have to give God the credit for it. And he could just say, the wind did it. You know, that was the problem with Pharaoh. The Bible says his heart was hard, and he was rebelling against God. And for him to give in and say, get rid of him right now, he thought maybe if he waited tomorrow, till tomorrow, he wouldn't have, and something else would intervene, he wouldn't have to give God the credit. It's interesting as you study Egyptian culture. The frog was like a god to some of the Egyptians, and there was like a frog goddess, and it was a idol of fertility, and it's, so you know, for them to go against these frogs, maybe that was the reason why Pharaoh said what he did. I don't know, but whatever happened there, I'm still trying to figure out why would you, but then. The same way with us. Why? Why do we want to live another day, another night in misery when God could right now meet your need, my need, fears, worries, uncertainties of life, and all the things that often cause us to make bad decisions and cause us to go apart from God? Why would we want, and then we're miserable from it, why would we want to just stay in that when God says, if you allow me to come, I will bring deliverance to you, and you don't have to sleep another night with the frogs. Pharaoh was very stubborn. How about you and me? We can be very stubborn. God has convicted me many, many times about my own stubbornness. And when I'm thinking of stubbornness, I think sometimes of, and my grandpa was stubborn in a good way, but I could see him when he was firm in what he believed, and you would say, really, grandpa? He'd clamp his mouth together and go, and my wife says, I'm that way sometimes. Clamp my mouth together. Stubbornness can be a good thing and it can be a terrible thing, especially if it's for the wrong reason. And because of pride. Often it's because of pride within us that we do not want to give in and we do not want to recognize God in what he wants to do in our lives. Just like Pharaoh. He chose to spend one more night with the frogs. Miserable. Why? The message of the Bible is that Jesus Christ stands ready to remove those frogs, to take away your uncertainties and fears, forgive your sins, and to offer complete pardon. Complete peace, so that you could just like be like Peter that we studied today, sleep peacefully. You know, that is amazing to me when I read that story, and Caleb talked about it, how peaceful he was, that God had to hit him to wake him up. He was so peaceful. He was having a good sleep. It wasn't bothering him at all that he might be executed. He was totally at rest and peace in the arms of Christ. And that makes me come to remembrance to the night before my heart surgery, or no, the moment before my heart surgery. I said, God, help me not to think about them cutting me open, taking my heart out, laying it on the shelf, and putting me on a pump, and help me not to think about it. And if my heart doesn't start back up, I'm in your hands. And if you decide to take me and I can enjoy peace with you forever, I'm in your hands. And I remember laying there thinking that before the anesthesiologist slipped the anesthesia on me and I was gone. But I was at peace, and Peter was very much at peace. God had to hit him to wake him up. God had to hit me to wake me up out of the anesthesia. And then when I did wake up, I couldn't breathe and I thought I was dying. But God, he came at that moment to the rescue and inflated my lungs, and I was able to breathe again. Praise God for his healing. There are at least four reasons why you and I should not say tomorrow, and why you should choose, you should not choose like Pharaoh to spend one more night with the frogs. I hope you never forget this message. Just think about it, the title, One More Night with the Frogs. And I hope it will all unfold to you when God speaks to you and says, you need to deal with this in your life. And I'm praying that your and my response would be, Lord, yes, right now, please come. I repent, I confess, meet my heart, my need. But the first reason is the Holy Spirit calls today. The message of the Holy Spirit is be saved today. The devil says, wait and put it off until tomorrow. God says, come and come right now. The Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And that's from Psalm 95. Don't harden your heart today if you feel God putting his finger on something in your life. Say yes. Yes, God, please deal with my heart. If there is a sin in your life, take care of it today. Don't say tomorrow. If something is wrong in your life, don't spend another night with the frogs. One thing sure, the day of grace is still open for each one of us hearing this message today. The Savior pleads with men to come to him now. The gates of heaven are open now. And as a songwriter says, the Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. Oh, won't you let him come in? The Spirit of God seeks men who are lost, who have things in their lives that he longs for them to deal with. How's your relationship with Jesus Christ today? Is there something keeping you apart from him? And you're kind of miserable about it. Don't spend another day or another night with it. But the day is today. Harden not your heart. Today is a day of salvation. Do you feel apart from God? God warns and strives with men that they might be saved. He may not call tomorrow. I love the verse in Isaiah 55:6. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And then in another place, God says in Genesis 6:3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. This implies that the Spirit of God may not always call. Reminds me of the third president we had in the United States. How many of you, the third vice president that we had in the United States, how many of you know who the third president was? Because this vice president served under him. Who was our third president? This is not really a history class. I'm just curious. Thomas Jefferson. You know who his vice president was? This vice president, you cannot believe his end of his life and the downward spiral that he took because of turning away the conviction that God put in his heart. Anyone want to guess? I'll give you a big clue. Later on in life, Chad, you'd probably know this. Later on in life, because of his anger and bitter heart, he had a duel with another man and killed another man. And so he murdered. But it led him to that because he said tomorrow. Can anyone tell me who he was? Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr, he was the third vice president of the United States. He was a brilliant and smart student at the Princeton University at the age of 19. And at the age of 19, a revival broke out on the campus in those days, and Aaron was deeply convicted. He went to one of his teachers and told him his dilemma. The teacher gave him a Bible and told him to go back to his room and settle the matter with God on his knees. Aaron tried to shake off the conviction. That's a horrible thing to do when we do it. He went back to his room, all right, but in desperation he cried out, "God, if you let me alone, I'll promise to let you alone." What a horrible thing to say. What a horrible response. And later, Aaron said it was at that moment that all conviction left him. Years later, a good friend tried to introduce him to the Savior. But cold sweat poured out of his forehead as he recounted to his friend how at the age of 19, he had asked God to let him alone. It was then that he said, "I never had even the slightest feeling ever since that I should become a child of God." What horribleness to think about it. Aaron Burr went on to become a miserable man. Full of anger and bitterness, he committed murder in a gun duel. He was accused of committing treason later on in his life against the United States, and his life ended in a miserable wreck. But that's what happens when we turn away from God. It can happen. So many have the idea that they can wait until tomorrow, just like Felix. Tomorrow when I'm ready. Yeah, maybe then I'll take care of it. But the fact is, you'll get saved when the Spirit of God draws. And if He has called you for the last time, you'll never get saved or take care of the issues in your life. The poet said, "There's a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord, where the call of the Spirit is lost. As you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? To say yes to Jesus means life. To say no means death. To say yes means heaven. To say no means hell." The first reason why you should not choose to spend one more night with the frogs is because the Holy Spirit calls today. And the Spirit of God doesn't always strive with man. The second reason, the heart constantly gets harder. And we read that scripture from Psalm 95. And we'll look at it just quickly here. Psalm 95. Verse 7 says, "For he is our God, and we are his people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." And we saw over and over with Weldon as he shared with us the children of Israel's journey in the wilderness, how many times they hardened their heart. And the horrible consequences and the horrible suffering that they chose instead of just saying yes to God. Surrender to God. You know, there's another scripture I love. I love reading this scripture because when I responded to the Savior knocking at my heart. You ever hear him knocking? The interesting thing is when he's knocking, he never forces his way in. And he can't because there's no knob on the outside door or on outside of the door. The knob is on the inside, and he's waiting for you to turn the knob to let him in. There's a famous painting that way, and I always love that picture. God never will force his way into anyone's life. He leaves the choice up. We're creatures of choice. He longs for us to want to say yes, to open the door, to want him to come in. And he promises that when we let him come in, what happens? We have fellowship. We sup with him, as Revelation 3 says. 3:20-22. Beautiful scripture. When you let him in and you say yes, there's a beautiful thing that happens in your relationship. You have fellowship. You have closeness. There's an intimacy that takes place. And you're just like the Apostle John, who would love to lay on Jesus' breast because of his love for the Savior and the love that we can experience when we open the door and feel that love rush in to our hearts. And in return, the love in our hearts pours out to the Savior for not taking away the miserableness that we find ourselves in, or the coldness, or the fears and worries that dominate us when we don't have to live that way. And those things keep us apart so often from the Savior. The Bible says, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:13. And that's what happens when we push away the call of God in our lives, in our hearts. The hardening of the heart is one of the most terrible calamities that can come upon a lost sinner and upon a person who has wandered away from Christ and continues to harden himself. And it's a downward spiral, as James chapter 1, verse 13 talks about, when we give in to temptation, then it becomes sin. And it just goes down, down, down. And in the end, James says it's death. And James, as you know, in our lesson today, was one of the first ones martyred by Herod because he was outspoken. And here he is speaking boldly about what happens to us when we're stubborn and when we find ourselves looking at other things other than Christ, and we find ourselves giving in to lust, temptation, and it's down, down, down we go. James was very outward about things. And then to please the Jews, Herod decided, well, I'm sure the Jews complained, so Herod took James. And then who was the next very outspoken person? It was Peter. And he was, the power of God was flowing through his life. And many wonderful things were happening because of his surrender to Christ. Because he said yes to Christ. Because he was free of the frogs. And so that was the next one that Herod attempted to take. But isn't it awesome what happened? Oh, that was such a powerful story today. But the hardening of the heart is one of the most terrible calamities that can come upon a lost sinner on this side of eternal destruction and hell. One reason why the great majority of those saved have been saved in their youth is simply because the young person has the advantage of a tender heart. The youth have a tender conscience that grieves over sin more easily. than a person, an older person who has allowed himself to be calloused and hardened by saying no, ignores the call of the Spirit of God, and his heart has become hardened and accustomed, and he's become accustomed to sin. Is that you and me? Oh, I pray that we would keep our hearts tender and our conscience tender. And that happens when our relationship with God is good. We have a very tender heart toward him. Every brazen infidel was once a tender-hearted child. Every infidel that was born in this world was a young, tender heart of a child. And that infidel at one time may have trembled at the very thought of his sin and judgment, but the delay over the years has hardened his heart. If your past, this is an interesting statistic I was reading. It says if you're past 20 years of age, your chances for getting saved are growing smaller. 5/6 of all decisions for Christ are made before 20 and 25. I'm sorry, before 20. 11/12 of all decisions are made before the age of 25. And only 1 out of 1,000 becomes a child of God after the age of 30. It is not impossible to be saved in an older age, but often it's very unusual. My dad was one of those. On his deathbed at 83, he finally surrendered and gave his heart to God. And I often just shake my head, why? Why, Dad, did you live in misery all those years? Why did you go to bed with the frogs every night? We'll take care of it tomorrow, as Felix said. And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. How about you? How about me? God calling? Is His Spirit calling your heart today to deal with something in your life? Or if you've wandered away from God, or if you have found yourself entrenched in who knows what, don't wait till tomorrow. If He is calling today, why spend one more night with the frogs? The third reason is because the nearness of Christ's return. It's very close. Why would you gamble your life away to hell? Why would you throw away the wonderful choice of going to heaven and being with Jesus forever? The fact still remains that each passing day brings us one day closer to the coming of Christ. The angel said at the time of his ascension, this same Jesus who is taken up shall come again. There will be a resurrection of the Christian dead, as it says in Thessalonians 4, 14 through 18. Talks about being caught together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let me just look at that quickly. You often hear this read at a graveside, but we can experience such peace when we are ready, and we know that when He returns, that we can be caught up together. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them from which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, to the believer, those are beautiful, comforting words. To the unbeliever, to those that are saying no, those are scary things to talk about. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about the return of Christ. And some will often say, I've heard that over and over ever since I was age whatever. I've heard people say, the coming of Christ is near. But you know what? It's nearer now than it ever was. And why scoff at something that is so serious and so important? The fourth reason that we should not spend another night with the frogs is the uncertainty of life and the certainty of death. Death is sure. I've heard guys tell me there's only two things in life that are guaranteed: taxes and death. Which we know taxes could change, but you often hear people say that. Taxes, which this is tax season. And a lot of times it's kind of a stressful time as you work to prepare yourself for paying taxes. But the certainty of death, James talks about it. The Apostle James, who was such a powerful leader in the early church and outspoken, gave his life for that. But he says in James 4, verses 13 through 14, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. Of all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin." So you know what God is calling you to do, and you do it not, you are sinning against God. God's Spirit is calling today. Christ's return is soon. And our hearts get harder when we say no. And when the Spirit calls, these are the things we need to ponder as we think about making choices today for the kingdom of God. Please don't be Felix, and please don't be Pharaoh. If God's Spirit is calling you to get rid of the frogs in your life, let him do it right now. Don't hesitate. Today is the day of salvation. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. And that's true. What keeps you from taking a step toward the Savior? Those wide arms of love. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Oh, won't you let him come in. Lord God, think of the song also this morning of nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior. So precious thou art. Fold me, O fold me, to thy breast. Gather me safely into your wonderful rest. O Lord, your invitation is come unto me, all you who are miserable, who are spending the night, your nights with the frogs. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest to your souls. God, we can enjoy rest today. Lord, if there's someone here that keeps saying tomorrow, tomorrow, oh God, I pray today they would say yes. No more tomorrow, no more misery as I walk in this life. Lord, that you stand ready, you stand waiting to deliver us, Lord. But we are creatures of choice, and you long for us to choose you today. And I pray, dear God, if there's someone here that's battling and that's resisting, Lord, I pray today they would say yes. And that they would come to the altar, come to you or come to one of us to pray and to say, I'm tired of the way I'm living. I want Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for each one here today. I pray that your word, your message would continue to burn in our hearts. You'd continue to help us, Lord, that we would, the conviction within us would spur us on, Lord, to deal with the things in our lives, and that we would not become hardened and cold and apart from you. In the name of Jesus, amen.